All right. Well, Wednesday night, here we go. Kingdom teaching. We've been teaching on faith and the power of faith and having faith on this earth in the last days. It's imperative that we have it because of what's happening. L.A. is at $8 a gallon. Don't you think you need faith in L.A. to put some fuel in your SUV or whatever? Those guys in the Kias don't look too bad, do they? Beep, beep, as they go by. Right? Or the motorcyclist or whatever. Or the guy on a bike. He is definitely laughing. He probably sticking his tongue out. But anyways, we got to have faith, amen? And that's not a song. It's the truth. So last time we got together, we were on part two. Part two, we talked about Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, in the first one, part one, we went into Hebrews chapter 10, and where we spoke about the law, and we got into the whole understanding of where we were going. So we went into chapter 11. Again, that's where a lot of teachers start out, but we're kind of different here. So let's go to Hebrews 11 real quick, verse 1, just as a quick recap. I'm not going to spend long on it. Now, faith is. When is faith? Faith is now. You need to have faith when? Now or tomorrow? Now and tomorrow. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's a reality. It's the substance. It's the title deed. It's the tangibility. So my faith gives me tangibility to what I'm believing, even though I can't see it, touch it, taste it, or what have you with the natural senses. By faith, I believe I receive. And this is where most believers lose it, because we live in a carnal world. And if you're carnal, then this, you can't understand this. This is not applicable to you because you're in carnality. But if you walk by the Spirit and you live by the Spirit, then you know how to operate in faith. And so it's a very powerful principle. I feel like just teaching the whole thing again, but I'm going to back off. Now faith is the substance, the title deed, or the evidence of things hoped for. Things hoped for. What do they hope for? Expectation. See, the world, again, a carnal mindset, the world says, I hope. Oh, I hope it happens. You ever seen somebody like that? That's not faith. I hope. No. I expect it to happen. Okay, and here's where, again, where it's hard for Christians to gather this in their thinking and muster the boldness up, because you think, well, you're being prideful. No, I expect it. And you know what God says? I expect you to expect it. He really wants us to expect it. How are you going to bother the Almighty who created everything, who told you to do things, told me to do things, to say certain things? How are we going to bother him? Like we're going to deplete his power? Oh, Christine, I'd love to help you, but I'm a little short this week, so I'm going to help the Nigerians, but you're on your own. No, he's not going to do that. So it's the things that are hoped for, the expectation, the evidence of things not seen. Again, the tangibility, the title deed, it's all in that understanding there, and we have to get that into our spirit. So verse 2, so let's look at that. What happened? For by it, by what? Faith, the elders, who? The patriarchs, those before us, obtained a good report. How many of y'all like good reports? When I heard my good report this week, I was like, yeah, you know? Praise God, that's better than saying, nah, you know, something bad. So if I want a good report in my life, guess what I have to have? Faith. You must have faith. We must operate in faith, okay? And that's the antidote for bad things. Romans 10:17, you don't have to go there, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Remember, it's a continuous action. If you look at grammatically, it's continuous action. I can't just hear the word and have faith. I got to hear the word and hear the word and hear the word. Again, because we live in a carnal state as far as of the earth, you know, we touch, we smell, we're people of senses. Many times when we hear the word of God and we hear faith, it doesn't register. We want it to, but it doesn't. So therefore, you have to consume the word of God constantly, constantly, constantly. And here's what I taught last time. when you have a specific need in your life and a deficiency, let's take like in the natural, if you have a deficiency of iron, you're going to have fatigue, right? You're going to be anemic. You're going to have, come on, help me out, Judy. You're going to have all these different things, and people are going to say, you don't have good color. Yeah, I haven't ate iron in a while, okay? You know, whatever. You know, there's going to be something about you that's going to be depleted. You know, you're going to see it. Well, it is with faith in the Word of God. If you're living in a situation and you have a depletion in your life, find the Word on it, apply that Word to it, and continuously applying that Word until it becomes second nature to just declare it. Does that make sense? It's not a mantra. It's not a sin. It's not, oh, your lack of faith. You say it one time and God can hear. Yeah, God hears, but the devil hears too. Generational curses on your life and things your parents said about you and your upbringing of being poor. Come on, we're talking about, let's just use money for an example. We live in a fallen society. So naturally we gravitate towards what? The fall. I'm not going to make it. I don't have enough money. I can see it. I don't have it. And so when we begin to parrot those things, then, and I'm going to get into nice teaching, but we start to activate those things in the negative realm. So again, getting away from carnality, now we go into faith and we begin to declare it and say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm going to say what God says. Okay, so that's how you get that good report. But again, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. John 1:1, we went into that. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, we know everything was created by Jesus, right? So He's the Word, right? So put the Word on your life. Put the Word in your life. Find out what the Word is about your situation and put it on there. You know, if you're dealing, again, I'm going to go back to finances, healing, whatever, and you're dealing with Jonah and the whale, okay, that's a great story, but that's not going to help you unless you're inside of a fish somewhere. Listen now, the Word of God strengthens you, yes, in everything, every word, every jot, every tittle, everything builds your faith. It's for exhorting, it's for building and all that stuff and for preaching. But there comes a time when you grow up and you say, I need specific. Okay, when I'm little, I need Fred Flintstone's chewable tablets. Love those things. I almost OD'd. How many of y'all use those? Like Pez candies. Why they made them so good is ridiculous. They should have made them like castor oil. But when you get older, it's like, no, I need morphine. You know, I need this. I need that. I got to have ibuprofen or whatever. And you grow up and you get specific about what you need. Does that make any sense? Some of y'all just flash back into your pill-popping days of Flintstones. Anyways, you bunch of... Anyway. Genesis 1. So we're not going to go there, but what did we talk about in Genesis 1? We went and talked about how that God had spoken. It was over 15 times He said. Is that right? If you use King James, if you do a little word search, it's 15 times. And He called it or He blessed it more than He created. It only says He created it 10 times. Well, it's a kind of play of words, but basically His Word, the spoken Word, created it. Is that right? Absolutely. There's only a few things that God used His hands on, and we know about that. That's with the creation of man. So we got into all that. We went into Genesis chapter 2. I told you about the principle of Adam naming all the animals and how that was an act of faith, and how that same law first mentioned, carries on still today. That's how we learn. That's how we operate. We operate by faith, and we speak the way God speaks. So I have to get off of that because I'll be on it all night again, and that's not what you're here for. All right. So hopefully you picked up a few extra nuggets there of truth. So now in part 3, I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, 43 through, probably going to go all the way down, Joshua, but let's just look at this here. This okay to start out? All right, Luke 6. For a good tree, everybody say good tree. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Pretty elementary, right? Here Jesus is teaching the fact, if it's a good tree, it gives good fruit. If it's a bad tree, it gives bad fruit. How many of y'all ever had a tree that was bad, didn't give good fruit? I got an apple tree in my yard I planted. I'm still waiting for something I can eat off of it. It's a bad tree right now. All right? Need some help. 44, next verse. For every tree is known by his what? His own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs. If I'm going to get figs, I don't go get thorns, right? Nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. So again, it's very elementary. You say, oh, I understand that. Well, he's going to get deeper into this. It's a very powerful spiritual principle. So far we're seeing that if it's good, it'll be good. If it's bad, it's going to be bad. Okay? If it's going to be out of order, the results are still out of order. Because grapes and brambles, they don't go together. That's out of order, isn't it? Yes, it doesn't make sense, does it? Next verse. A good man out of the good treasure. You want to underline that in your Bible, put that as a note. Out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Now the word treasure there is like a safe deposit box. Safe deposit box. It's a place where treasures are held. Okay? How many of y'all have a little box somewhere in your home? You got something you keep your trinkets or your heirlooms or whatever. It's special to you. Maybe, you know, you're wealthy like Flo and you have a bank that handles all your affairs. She's just laughing. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Why? Because inside of his heart he has a treasury of things that are there. He had to do what? Deposit into that treasury. You just don't wake up necessarily with stuff. I mean, last time I checked my account, nobody's putting anything in it. Help me now. No, you know, you got to go do it. You got to go get a job or whatever your money comes from, however you do this thing, and then you put the deposit in. The spiritual principle is, if I'm going to have a good heart, I'm going to have some good treasure in there. Okay, I'm going to be a good person. So watch what he says. An evil man out of his evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Again, isn't it elementary? For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, in context, as we go down this line here of teaching and understanding, we're staying on the tongue, by the way, and the mouth and faith and confession for probably a little while here because it's so important. But notice again, let me go back to it. For what? For that which is evil. For of the abundance or out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So again, he's not talking about grapes and brambles. He's not talking about figs and thorns. He's talking about the heart of a man and the communication that comes out of a man. And he's really speaking in two contexts, somebody who would be good or a believer, and then somebody who is not and would be evil. And it could be mixed together because sometimes we could think we're good and we speak evil. But the context is this, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So what is in you, watch this, what is in you will come out of you. Ah, it will. It will. It just will. You know, you give me about 5-10 minutes with somebody, and I can tell you exactly where their level of faith is just by what they say. Help me. Y'all know you can do the same thing. Doesn't take discernment. Doesn't take to be a super spiritual person. You can just tell. Why? Because your words, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but it's okay. Write it down. Your words are a vehicle that is driving you in the direction you're speaking. Your words are a vehicle that are driving you in the direction that you're speaking. If you always have a potty mouth and a potty attitude and you know, Linus's blanket and smoke and dust and dirt's going everywhere and Charlie Brown, why is everybody always picking on me? Then that's what you're going to get. Why? Because that's out of the abundance of your heart. That's the abundance of your treasury. So what's in your treasury? So we're dealing with faith and operating in faith. So if I have the Word of God in me, that inside of me, I have a treasury, I have an abundance of the life of God, the faith of God. Do you understand? And so we have to be careful what's in our heart. The word abundance there means overflow. What comes out of you? There was a story of an old preacher one time in the Brush Harbor days. He was preaching up a storm, and somebody started throwing eggs and tomatoes at him and his praise and worship leader. And the praise and worship leader started cussing, and the old preacher started praising, and he stuttered. And the praise and worship leader came to the pastor afterwards and said, "Sir, I don't know what happened." He said, "When I got hit with the tomatoes and the eggs, I started to cuss." He said, "But when you got hit with them, you started to praise." He said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because when you got hit with the eggs, you cussed." He said, "But when I got hit, I had the praise come out of me." I heard that years ago, and I was like, "Yeah, that's right." What comes out of you when you get hit? What comes out of you when you get hit with that phone call, with that letter, with the visitor, with doctor's report? What comes out of you? Because what comes out of you is what's in you, and you can't fake that. You can't fake that. That's the reality. And so the cure is to do what? Put good treasures in. What is the good treasure? The Word of God. And again, if I'm in a situation where I need a specific thing from God or a specific thing in my life, I have to put that good treasure in my box, in my savings, or here is in reality, it's your heart, okay? So out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. So again, you are who you say you are. Boy, I don't get a lot of friends tonight. I am who I say I am. If I walk around with, again, my mouth and my attitude with, you know, sadness and doom and gloom, and I'm going to fail, and this life stinks, and it's like one big lemon. Come on, somebody. And whatever, man, I got the short end of the stick. I was born on the wrong tracks. I got the wrong skin color. I got the wrong last name. My dad was a drunk. He beat me. Come on, whatever. My mom was Tupperware salesperson, whatever. You know, hard times. That's what you are. And when you, in the realm of faith, those things may have been a reality in your life, and those things may be happening to us, but by faith, we declare what God says about us. This is a very powerful principle, and this is not no self-help humanistic gospel seminary to get you excited. What this is basic foundations of how to talk and how to speak the Word of God and how to become what He wants you to be. Watch this. I'll prove it even more. 46, because y'all just staring at me. "And why call you me Lord and do not the things which I say?" Wait a minute. Now, why is he saying do tied into verse 45? Because doing and saying is what he has said for you to do. See, doing is not just feeding the hungry and stacking the rack and giving the missions. Doing is saying what he said. I'm doing the kingdom business. I'm doing things by faith, by speaking what the Word of God says. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You're not even doing the practical things. And so, you know, this is heavy, because we're all guilty of talking negative. Please raise your hand. Give me a finger, something. Just, you know, give me one of your fangs. Yeah, we are in a fallen nature world, and things hit us, and we do get frustrated. And I'm not talking about, listen to this, I'm not talking about going to God and having a little, a pity party or whatever. We all have that moment. He's God, and sometimes we just feel like, oh, do you even hear me? Yeah, it's overwhelming. But I'm talking about chronic talking negative. So let's get that established here. We're not talking about, you know, you had a bad day or whatever. The Lord understands that. I'm talking about chronic, habitual, repetitive. It's just potty mouth after potty mouth after potty mouth. I don't mean cussing. You could be cursing your own life in the day you was born. And you want God to fix that, but he can't fix it until you apply the word to it. And then we call him Lord. He says, why don't you do what I say? Well, what do you say, Jesus? You say, he says, I say, confess the word, speak the word. Okay? So it's a connection here. You can't just read and copy and paste and cut. You got to read in context. So watch what he says, verse 47. It all ties together. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So again, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. But I just said, he just said, do. Yeah, you do by what you hear. And then he says, you doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. So let's get taught here what he's going to show us. Next verse. He is like a man and a woman which built a house and digged what?
Deep.
We're not talking about a mobile home. We're not talking about a, you know, Jim Walter stick house. And you all know about those. Jim Walter, they're big in Florida. They're big in swamp lands. They just have big stilts. No. Deep, right? You got to go deep. And laid the foundation on a what? On a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. The Word of God is the rock. The Word of God is solid. It's talking about the solid foundation of the truth of the Word of God. Okay? That's what it said. Rock solid. All right? And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not what? Shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So notice this, a man built a house. Let me ask you this. Do you build a house in silence, or do you build a house with measurements and calling out for wood? And do you read instructions? Well, I don't, but I'm one of those guys that don't read instructions and I get it all messed up. I'm like, what's wrong with the entertainment center? It's good, man, you know? But you got to read instructions, right? So this is not just a work thing. This is the totality of and context of what he's trying to say. Listen to what I'm telling you. Do what I'm telling you to do. Put all that together, and guess what? You're on the firm foundation, and you build a rock-solid house, but you got to go deep, okay? Next verse. But he that heareth, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and doeth not. Remember, faith without works is what? Dead. We haven't got into that. We're going to get into it later, right? So there's a connection there. Doeth not is like a man that's without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, or what? Sand. Against that which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately, how long? Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he's given again in context here, then if we don't obey and follow what he's saying, then our lives won't be solid. If we don't have the word of faith in our mouth and the confession of the word of God, then when life comes against us, and it's going to come. Some of us are in a storm right now. Some of us just came out of a storm. Some are fixing to get thrown into a storm. Right? We're all different, and we all got stages of life. Some people are dancing. Yeah, this is awesome. Some of us are holding on to the umbrella and it's pulling us away. I mean, we're all in those different stages. Those that are watching right now, we're all different. And our walks are different. But this principle is still the same. I have to build my life with a good treasure. Come on, with the good stuff of God, the good truth of God. And build my house, build my life upon that rock. So what does it have to do with faith? Everything. Everything. It has everything to do with faith. Has everything to do with the way you and I speak. If we don't follow the instructions, how many of y'all know our house is not going to be that good? Okay? You probably don't want me building your house. How's that? But I can help you. Okay, so look, there's a few things I want you to write down, a few statements. These are bullet points that I think are really going to help you. You can change your world. You can change your world by changing your words. That's really what I wanted to start out with in the beginning, but it fits here fine. You can change your world by changing your words. Again, it sounds so elementary, but you must be repetitive. You must practice this. You must. Because you got to stay on it. You got to be constant on it. Because again, you know, you may feel like you're on cloud nine today and everything's rock and rolling your way. Then you get hit with a 2x4 tomorrow and then you lose your confession. How many of y'all ever done that? Thank you. Some honest folk tonight. You know, it happens to all of us, but we have to continuously learn how to stay in the Word. So you could change your world by changing your words. You don't have to live in the situation you're living right now. You do not. Well, I was born this way. No, you can change it. I didn't say overnight. This isn't a magical formula and something that you just, you know, blink your eyes, I dream of genie. And this is not a magic trick. This is the Word of God. Listen to this. It took you decades to get into your situation. Thank you. I love an honest man. You know, it took me decades to get into my situation, and we expect God as new believers, and especially these hyper preachers that, you know, bam, boom, be like me. Yeah. Well, not always, honey. You know, you're cute and all that, but it's going to take you, and we don't teach people this, it's going to take you a little while. Now, maybe God will do a lickety-split thing for you. I don't know. I'm not going to hold him back. But don't expect change to happen always overnight. But you can change your world. You just got to change your words. Well, I'm not getting any friendship around. I just feel it. Nobody's happy. All right, watch this. Because this is hard. It hits home because we're all guilty. We're guilty. We really are. But we can fix this. I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're too stubborn. That's the problem. Watch this. I wish this thing was bulletproof, Curtis. I would feel more comfortable. Your words, it's a truth. I mean, we are. We're rebellious. We don't want to change. I mean, we look in the mirror and say, man, I need to do something. Anybody got any donuts? I mean, you know, we're not, don't we? We do. We're like, man, roly-poly. And we don't do anything, but we got to. Watch. Your words either open heaven up for you or close it against you. Your words either open heaven up for you or close it against you.
What do you mean heaven closes against me? God loves me.
Yeah, God loves you, but he's a faith God. He operates by his word. Okay? Let me add this to that statement, and you'll begin to understand this a little better. The word of God, listen to this, the word of God functions as a spiritual law. We've got to understand that. It's a spiritual law. It's already been established. It's already been put in place. And guess what? It is bound, the Word of God is bound to perform by that spiritual law. There's no choice. He even said in His Word, He said that His Word's above His name. Oh, man. Okay? And here's the punchline for it all. And it will not deviate, flex, or be broken for anyone. So I'll read it in totality. The Word of God functions as a spiritual law. It is bound to perform by it and will not deviate, flex, or be broken for anyone. Not even wonderful me or stunning you. Nobody on earth. God will not bend His Word, deviate, break it, nothing to fit your desires are what you want to see happen. It's a spiritual law. I don't have time to go in there, but Genesis chapter 3, we see that where God spoke exactly what would happen on the cross of Calvary. And the warfare. I've taught it many times here. Go back and look at it, about bruising of the heel and the crushing of the head of the serpent. The bruising of the heel was the crucifixion of Jesus. He only just temporarily gave him a limp, but he rose the third day. The crushing of the head. Where is the center of a snake's ability? Is where? In the head. What's the first thing you do if you're going to kill a snake? Chop its head off. Right? So, you know, we don't have time to go back over that, but we know that was a prophecy from the garden to the future to Calvary. All right. It's a spiritual law. Did it happen that way? You betcha. Century after century, time after time, decade after decade, all of that period of time, it happened exactly like God said it would happen. It's a spiritual law. But we get in Christianity and we think that we're going to change God and ask God to manipulate things just for me. Right? It doesn't work that way. I have to live by faith. You have to live by faith. I don't get nothing special being a pastor. I get the worst judgment when judgment comes. I will. Because I teach and because I'm presenting the Word of God. And if I don't handle the Word of God right, then God's going to deal with me. I prefer Him to deal with me now. And that's why I'm very cautious the way I teach. And maybe I'm very thorough and I give a lot of information. But I do that because I want you to get it all. And I don't want to get in trouble. Is anybody here? And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy to study. All right? So it's a spiritual law. Let me give you an example of this. This is a really good example. We have the laws in nature, correct? And there are certain laws you don't violate. For an example, an electrical law. There's a law of electricity. Is that right? The law of electricity should not be violated if you would like to live the rest of your life. Those men who have messed with electricity say amen. And those ladies that tried, you know what? It's a law. The power lines carry 17,000 volts of power, and they're not meant to have a kite stuck on them. Or when, as children, we used to throw shoes. Remember, tied the shoes and throw it up there and... No, okay, that's not meant to be. Or to stick a screwdriver in a socket. Please don't do that. That'd give a white man an afro, wouldn't it? We don't do those things. Why? Because there's a law that says if you do that, you're going to die. But the same law that says you'll die if you'll violate it is the same law that says I can cook your meals, I can clean your clothes, I can give you AC, I can give you lights, I can make you so happy if I obey that law. It applies spiritually to the Word of God and to the Word of faith. I can live a very good life. I can live an abundant life. I can live all the things that God wants me to do. I didn't say diamonds and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I can live the abundant life within me because I obeyed the spiritual laws. If we're not living the good life, and what I mean by good life is a good conscience towards God. I don't care about stuff. I've known some poor people who were walking giants with God. I've been overseas and seen some people that have raised the dead. And when you look at them, you're like, you know, that's not Billy Graham. You know, or whatever name you want to use. I mean, they're just, you know, they're Juan Lopez or whatever their name was. In fact, one guy was in Cuba that raised the dead. I mean, you know, so it's not outward appearances. It's not stuff. It's not things. And we get so messed up in Christianity here in America that we've lost the confession of faith. And so we got to follow those laws, okay? So that makes any sense? It makes a lot of sense. Well, again, that law has to be followed, the spiritual law, by speaking things, by declaring those things. Again, because that's the way God set it up. Listen to this. The spirit world, that world that we can't see, the fourth dimension, if you will. The spirit world is controlled by the Word of God. I don't know if you know that. Even though the kingdom of darkness is chaotic and all those things, the kingdom of God is not chaotic. There is no confusion. It is exactly in time and exactly in order, and everything is precise. He knows exactly what's happening. He knows when the next hair that's going to fall out of your head. Come on, the devil's trying to pull the rest out, but God, He knows exactly what's happening. He knows prophetically the time scales and time frames and seasons. He knows exactly what's going to happen to Jerusalem and the next conflicts, all those things. He knows those things. And so the Word of God is controlling the spirit world according to His plans and purpose. Now, it seems out of control and it seems chaotic, but that's how it seems. Does that make sense? It's no different than you going into a very hostile situation, whatever it is. It could be a family argument. It could be some type of domestic disturbance or whatever, and you're the calmest person in the room. That spiritual force, even though it entered into chaos, is the strength. Does that make sense? So watch this. The spirit world is controlled by the Word of God. The natural world is controlled by man. Speaking God's word, releasing His authority, power, and influence into our world. I'm going to read again because it's a lot. The spirit world is controlled by the Word of God. Absolutely is. And absolutely, the devil's kingdom can be controlled and contained by the Word of God. But the natural world is controlled by man. In other words, we live in this natural world and we have, for the most part, control of it. Is that right? You have control of everything that you see, you touch, you know, these things around us. Well, as a believer, if I have control of these things, then I must speak the Word of God in order to invoke or to invite His authority, His power, His presence, His will. But if I don't, then the natural laws of the earth, manipulated by the enemy, begin to take over. And then I become overwhelmed by that. Does that make any... You know, it's really basic, but we do. We get overwhelmed by the natural effects around us instead of taking control of them in the Spirit and speaking, praying in tongues, praying the Holy Spirit, speaking the Word of God, and walking around your house. Now listen, people are going to think you're nuts, but walk around your house and declare the Word of the Lord. Not just, oh God, help me, oh God, help me. I've prayed many of those prayers. But I speak your word to this in Jesus' mighty name. I bind you, devil. You're a liar. I loose the blessings of God on me. I'm not going down. I'm not going under. I'm going over. For I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in, going out in the city, in the field. Man given to my bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Hallelujah. Yeah. Right? That's better than saying, oh God, I'm going to die. Right? Fred Sanford, here I come. It's the one, baby. No, we can't do that. We have to declare and decree the word of the Lord. All right? So watch this. I'm not finished with this whole statement. We battle the devil, the god of this world, with the word of God that comes from another world. Let's finish it out. We battle the devil. Yes. We battle the devil. Do you know what your greatest battle is? The battlefront, the battle arena of every believer is your mind. It's my mind. Because what the devil doesn't come up to you, if he does, we need to talk after service, with a pitchfork, you know, and a red top hat, boo, and does that to you and stuff. We need to really pray. But what he does do is say, you're not going to make it. Now, that little lump you got right there, I'm going to tell you right now what that is. That ain't no pimple. Come on. Before you know it, you know, he's telling you, you got stage 10 cancer. There ain't no such thing as stage 10, but he going to say it. And what happened? The thought entered to the mind. Oh, I really don't want to get ahead of myself, but when the devil tries to trip us up, he puts thoughts in our minds. The problem is, We don't fix it. And then it takes that seed form and it becomes part of our language. Then we say what we thought, not knowing it was the devil who put the thought there. God's not going to talk to you that way. God's going to say, by my stripes you're made whole. You are restored. You are healed. Right? And so those thoughts got to be dealt with. And I'm going to talk about that later. I hope I have enough time. I hate time sometimes. The clock just... Anyways, we battle the devil, the god of this world, with the word of God that comes from another world. We battle the devil. We speak the word of God. What did Jesus do in this time of temptation? He said, "Is what? It is written." Did Jesus have a Bible somewhere in his back pocket, a Gideon's or something? No. It is written because it was what? Spoken. God spoke it from the beginning. He spoke it through the prophets. He spoke it through Moses. He spoke it through the law. And Jesus repeated, says, "It is written." But the devil knew what that meant. It was spoken, and it was absolutely facts and truth. Even though Jesus got on the high pinnacle, saw all the worlds and saw all those things, that was a fact. Did you know the devil really could have gave Jesus those things? Yes, he could, because he owned it. He has the title deed. Adam fell, committed high treason against God, lost the title deed. Satan grabbed it, and he became the god of this world. And so, yeah, he promises what? People all kinds of stuff, don't he? How many people have you read about over the years that sold their soul to the devil and became some of the greatest guitar players and drummers and whatever it was, and made all kinds of filthy money, and they admitted, "Yeah, I sold my soul to the devil." He could have done that, but Jesus didn't do it because he said, "It's been spoken, it's been written. I'm not going to follow you." That's another teaching sometimes, but that wasn't an imaginary thing. That's why the devil can promise us these things. My pastor used to say this all the time. The devil is the only one that will promise you the rainbow, but all he can give you is the rain. All right. So we combat the devil that way. All right, so go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Man, I don't know if... I think that's about all I'm going to get tonight, unless you let me go over. Okay, no. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, hollering and... No help. Mark, help me, man. He didn't even say anything. All right, watch it. Usually he's like, "Go ahead, man." 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Probably go down to verse 6, but watch this. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Okay, so we live in the flesh, right? No one's here as an angel, right? Okay, I'm looking across here. You're all cute, but no one's an angel. All right, good. No wings. All right, so we do not war after the flesh. We are not going to go against spiritual battles with a 9mm, an AK-47, a bazooka. Come on, anything like that, right? Now, some people in the church think that's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Next verse. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Okay? So they're not in the flesh. "But mighty through" who? "God, to pulling down" of what? "Strongholds." Well, let me ask you this, okay? Just everybody look at me. This is very, very very elementary. Pulling down strongholds. Do we go like this and pull the devil's stronghold down? If you're doing that, I mean, it's okay to do an act of a prophetic act, okay? I've done stuff like that. Okay, I'm with you. But technically, we don't go around going like this. If you do, you may have your arms like this, and your favorite color would be white, because you're going somewhere, right? We don't do that. So how do I pull down strongholds? By the word of God. By the word of God. Again, some of the greatest strongholds are right here.
That's right. Yeah.
Because we were children. "Oh, you're fat. You'll always be fat. You're this. You're a loser. You're stupid at math." Come on. Are you here? Listen to me.
That's right.
And it may not be from abusive people. It's just the constant haranguing that we receive, and then we believe it. And so, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Those strongholds could be pulled down, but they have to be pulled down by the word of God. So we know it's not carnal. So I just showed you, it's not carnal. We don't do that. Again, if you want to go home prophetically and say, "Devil, I pull you out of my..." I don't have a problem with that. Just put the shade down. All right? Next verse. "Casting down imaginations." Here we go. Casting down imaginations. What are imaginations? I need a two or three weeks to teach on this whole subject right here. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations are things that don't belong there. They're thoughts, they're strongholds, they're things that the devil has put in our minds through generational curses, through hurt words, divorces, the bad relationships, whatever it is, we have imaginations that don't belong there. God didn't give you these imaginations. He didn't give you vain imaginations. He gave us reality, and reality is found in the Word of God. Again, I am the head and I am not the tail. I'm blessed coming in and going out in the city and in the field. And that's just, there's so many scriptures, right? Right? Absolutely. That tell you what God thinks about you. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts, here it is. Here's the proof. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In the Greek, the word knowledge there means doctrine. It's one of the words, doctrine of God. So the knowledge of God is what? The Word of God, not His brain, because how could I know His brain, His mind? How could I know it, right? If He has a brain, I mean, how do I know His intelligence? I don't know His intelligence. I know His intelligence by the Word of God. So here we go again. Casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the doctrine or the Word of God. No, I am not going to die. No, I'm not going to be sick the rest of my life. No, I'm not going to be to the point where I have not enough money to help out. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not. I pull that down. You're not going to put that imagination in my head. Stop talking to me that way. You got to do that. You got to do that. You got to put your foot down in Jesus' name and say, I refuse to be denied anymore. Because God says, I am this. Well, if you don't know the Word of God, how can you get bold and say that? Again, you can talk about Jonah in the well all day long, but that's not going to help your situation unless you're in the belly. Now, don't get me wrong. You can take the maps and scare the devil in the Bible. You can take the begots and scare him. Because it's still the Word of God. It still shows what God did in the missionary journeys of Paul. I mean, you know, it's the Word. You can do that. But you got to be specific if you're going to be in spiritual warfare. Casting down imagination. I don't know about you, but see for me, I've shared this before. You know, I grew up with complexes. Big complexes, man. Big inferiority, man. Thinking nobody liked me, and that's why I don't care anymore. Nobody. God delivered me from it. He did. I can look right at people, and if you don't like me, I love you. Too bad. We already picked up the offering. Go home. No, Yeah, but thank you, sir. You have to learn. You have to train. You have to fight. You have to pull. You have tears. You have hard times. You just cast it down. Say, no, I'm not. I'm better than that. I'm good. I'm good. I got good treasure inside of me. Who made me good? God. In humility, my righteousness is filthy rags. But in the blood of the Lamb and righteousness and redemption, I'm blessed. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. Take it up with my daddy. You're going to lose. Right? So exalt yourself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity. Here you go. Every thought to the obedience of who? Christ. How many thoughts? Every thought. Look, this will help men who lust. This will help people with overeating. This will help us with everything. When those thoughts come in that are contrary to the Word, contrary to our health, contrary to life, we bring them to the obedience of Christ. In other words, it's like this. Man, I need some time. Because this will set you free. This will help you. It helped me. When you think a thought that's wrong, that's not sin. Let me try that one more time. When a thought crosses your mind that is an evil thought or a bad thought, that's not sin. Because the enemy puts thoughts in your mind. When the thought enters your mind and stays and you dwell upon it, then it becomes sin to you because you didn't stop it. Bring every thought where? To the obedience of Christ. Lord, here you go. I don't think that way. Walking down the road, a beautiful girl, whatever, and your mind, hey, no, that's not me. We're not going there.
Right.
Or a handsome guy, whatever. You know, it's not going. Or somebody in a beautiful Corvette, man, I sure like, well, I'd kick his, yeah. You know, whatever. Drive by a fancy neighborhood. Bring every thought to the captivity of Christ. Say, Lord, that's not me. I don't think that way, and I don't want to think that way. Does that help you? What does that got to do with faith? Well, because the way I think is the way I speak.
Right.
Old preacher used to tell us all the time. He said, it's your stinking thinking that led to your stinking drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to clean up my thinking and drink better, you know. So, right? Okay, I got to go because I got some other things to give you. Let's go to the next verse. And having in readiness to revenge, I want to hug this. Having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, how can I go and rebuke the world? How can I bring them in subjection to righteousness and the word of God when I got mine messed up? You see what he's saying here? You know, it's to get the beam out of your eye, get that thing fixed. Okay, then we'll worry about a little speck that's in your bro's eye or whatever. So this is a powerful truth. It has to do with confession, has everything to do with the word of God. And let me read to you in the Amplified verse 5. It says, refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I love the Amplified in there because it really breaks out those words and it helps what I'm trying to say. I can't go any further because I have... No, there's just no way. There's no way. I need another hour or two. Let's put a can on that. And I hope that's helped you. I know it was a lot of information. Please go back. Look at it on archive, get the CD, what have you, but digest. This teaching that I'm giving you on faith is not a one-popper, not a one-shot. Don't think you heard it once and you got it. You really, really need to digest this, okay? And you're going to hear something new that you didn't hear before. Let me give you a scripture, then I'm going to give you those book references, and I'm going to get out of your way. James chapter 3. Verse 7, we're just going to read a couple verses here. So if you would, give me about 5 more minutes. This right here changed my life, revolutionized my life as a new believer. And then I'll give you the 2 books that did the same. So James chapter 3, watch this. Are you there? James chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, for every kind of beast and the birds and the serpents of the things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, right? We can handle that except our in-laws. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I'm going to teach on this next time, but I want to get to a certain verse. Go ahead. Therewith we bless with God, even the Father. Therewith we curse men which are made of the similitude of God. Next verse. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not so to be. Next verse. Doth the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fig or vines? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. Okay. That series of scriptures changed my life forever on how I speak. When I first got saved, because I went from those complexities, cursing like a sailor, come on people, everything that I was, and I spoke it. I didn't wait to speak my mind, I spoke my mind. Wave at me. I'll just tell you how it was and cut you down like a chainsaw. All, you know, that changed my walk, and I forever changed the way I spoke. And I said, you know what? Lord, take my tongue, take my mouth, tame it, help me so that I will not say the things I used to say, have the complexities I used to have, and help me to forward my thinking and my direction in your truth. Here's the 2 books I want to recommend to you. You can get these on Amazon. Which one we got first? This is called Hung by the Tongue. Some of you have already read this. Some of you know about it in the church that's on live stream. Francis Martin, Hung by the Tongue, $5, $6. It's an easy read. What did you say? Less than 100 pages. Judah's read it. Has Joshua read it? Not yet. Judah's read it. I'm not sure if Abby's read it. But, you know, I get people to be encouraged to read it. This book will change your life. Please go get it. Read it. Hung by the Tongue. Powerful book. And the next one is by Charles Capp, The Tongue, A Creative Force. These two books are the first books I read when I got saved. They changed my life forever. They're really older books. They're easy reads, paperbacks, $5, $6, $7, $8, something like that. The price you'd pay on a Big Mac or whatever. You can invest in your spirit and get this into you. Get the Word of God in you. It'll change the way you live. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I bless you and worship you. And I pray that we just take this truth and develop our walk with you and learn how to speak right and learn how to walk by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Appreciate you. Hope it blessed you. I'll see you Sunday morning.